Hello and welcome to a special edition of The Big Fight. Well, we are heading in for the budget. It normally is a big event, this time perhaps bigger than ever, because a lot of people are really looking at this budget to signal a transformation in sentiment, a rise in animal spirits, an inflection point that is going to really kickstart the Indian economy and everyone's faith in it, get people to come in and invest in India and make in India and all of that. So those are a lot of expectations to have from a budget. So we are going to be today on this episode of The Big Fight seeing what actually is it that Mr. Jaitley can do. Is it possible that this budget is going to signal a change in the atmospherics and in animal spirits or not? Is it too much to actually ask for? Because we are coming off a fairly dim global situation and also lots and lots of noise and chaos right here in the country. So on this special show, a really great panel helping us take us through all of this. Manish Tiwari, representing the Congress Party, P.N. Vijay, who's been closely looking at a lot of the economics that the BJP's been doing for a long while. Shekhar Gupta, one of our most prominent journalists, it's great to have you with us. And so that P.N. Vijay doesn't feel that it's, you know, everyone versus the government. Sambit Patra here as well, a spokesperson of the BJP, to give added strength and muscle to the arguments. Dr. Himanshu is an associate professor at the Center for Economic Studies and Planning at JNU. JNU, of course, been very much in the news. What is the economic take on everything that's about to happen? And it's great to have with us Ajay Singh, diplomat, former union minister, president of the Akhil Sarv Jat Mahasabha. And, of course, all that's been happening in Haryana also factors in. Right. Why don't I start with you, P.N. Vijay? If you were the finance minister, is there anything at all you could do on Monday to say, well, this is it, it's a turning point, it's actually, we're on the right path, and this is the signals that we have to show that everyone it's the right path. Forget about JNU, forget about JAT agitations, forget about all the rest of the stuff. Actually, let's focus on the economy.
Yes, I think that would be a sensible thing to do, because let's admit it, Vikram, that the headwinds in the economy right now are very global, and they're affecting everybody, starting from China. And India also has been affected by it, though it is a fact, though, the last 2 years, India has been the largest, fastest-growing large economy in the world. But that doesn't make the finance minister's job easier, because on the ground, we are seeing a fair amount of dissatisfaction. Surely the animal spirits have disappeared with the business sector. And even among consumers, there is a lack of demand. Government has been investing in a very big way. That has to continue, though the private sector is not following suit because of overcapacity, etc. It has to be a rural bias, because the problem is rural.
Okay, and most importantly, specific areas and sectors.
And most importantly, one more thing, Vikram. I think this budget, seeing the philosophy of the BJP to not to tax and spend, would have a lot of incentives for pushing consumption at the middle class level.
Okay.
You would find that more money is being put into the hands of the middle class.
I'm going to come to some specifics around that. For example, ORAP and pay commission may actually
help. All those things, yeah.
You may be forced to do some of that also in the budget. But Manish, wanted to get your sense on that animal spirits confidence. You know, the economy quite often is just a factor of confidence. So people believe that there's a lot happening, and people are excited about it. They'll invest. They'll spend more money. They'll put up factories. They'll, you know, foreign direct investment will come in. If there's a sense, you know, India's not quite going that way, instead the dominant images are some of those that we're seeing behind you, you know, JAT agitations and, you know, student union and people being beaten up, it changes the discourse a little bit.
I cannot agree with you more. There cannot be any economic growth and development without social cohesion. Social peace is a prerequisite for any economic development. Money is the biggest coward, and money goes to the safest destination. And if you find India in the situation it is today, there is nobody else to blame but the government itself. In fact, the government has nobody to blame but itself, for the simple reason that in the past 20 months, they have made every effort, beginning from the May of 2014 till the February of 2016, in order to upset and subvert social cohesion in this country. It's actually been a situation whereby Prime Minister says make in India, his party interprets it as hate in India. The Prime Minister says start up India, His party interprets it as breakup India. So you cannot have, you know, you cannot run with the hare and hunt with the hound.
Okay.
Either you do economic development, right? Or if you want to change the fundamental narrative of this country, then obviously there will be a pushback.
So somebody, a lot of what is happening around us, which is derailing, if you like, the growth story, are self-imposed goals, you know, as he says. And the Prime Minister is continuing to talk. I mean, if we were to look at the Prime Minister's Twitter feed, as somebody, I think, famously said, it would seem as if everything is absolutely okay, because he's talking about development and start in India and make up India and all of that. But other elements, including many in the BJP, some of the BJP supporters and others, there seems to be a second dialogue taking place. Is that disrupting and derailing growth?
I would say, Vikram, that as far as the discussion on economics is concerned, we have to keep the rhetorics out and we have to be really correct with our statistics. I believe the biggest achievement of this government in this last 18 months, there are a number of acts of commission. I mean, I can, in the course of this discussion, we will come into those acts of commission. But I would say one singular act of omission is such a great achievement that we are forgetting it today. No corruption. No corruption for 18 months, not a single scam by this government in 18 months, I believe, is one act of omission.
High-level corruption. I think we should try and elaborate that. At the low levels, you know, ask any of these people out here.
Let me complete. I mean,
am I right? At the grassroots level,
Vikram,
it still happens?
Vikram, high-level corruption is what I was talking about.
Yeah, fair enough. No, yes. And I think it is an achievement. I'm saying that you should get credit for that.
Let me complete. Because we have seen a government previous to us, for 10 long years, the amount which was siphoned off this country was approximately, and I don't say this, these are reports, the government reports, the CAG speaks about it, approximately 14 to 15 lakh crores was the amount which was siphoned off this country.
You have to be slightly careful of those numbers that you're saying for a reason that I think Shekhar is also going to elaborate on, because
Vikram,
some of it is presumptive.
Humble submission is, let me complete and thereafter you can all tear me apart, no issues at all. Number one, no corruption. I mean, that's otherwise the headlines of this of the news agents would have been this corruption worth this much, but it's not there. That means
you mean news agents and news agencies.
Everyone is a news agent.
Okay,
everyone is an agent for the news, so that's not an issue anyway. No corruption is number one. Number two, as far as the rhetoric behind the social injustice and the pictures that you have shown behind, saying that these are the ones which are in fact bringing the economic downs or may bring the economics down, I would say, well, yes. Which country does not have its share of problems? We have seen shootouts in America. We have seen that in Europe as well. But the problem with 24/7 news is, I mean, incidences which are singular, incidences which are confined, they become suddenly global and they become suddenly pulled to a level where they could have easily been avoided. But despite all this, 39% increase in FDI.
The situations could have been handled differently. This entire 15 days or 12 days that we have seen on nationalism versus anti-nationalism versus patriotism, non-patriotism, students, it could have all been avoided, handled slightly more sensitively. The matter would have lasted maybe 2 hours.
No, I do not agree with you in this
you
count.
So?
Because, look, today is an era where India has to be extra careful because radicalization is absolutely
nobody
an important thing
that.
To look out
this
for.
Entire, that's the, what I'm saying. Nobody disagreed.
Yes.
I haven't yet come across too many people who are saying, oh, those slogans were great and
no,
yes, they should be seditious.
Let me complete this.
Yes, let's break up India.
Yes.
Let's, actually, it was a handful of people who were doing it.
You just said that probably it would have been handled in a very sensitive manner.
It could have been handled
manner.
In a different manner.
The answer was, let me just complete the answer. I say that it's an era today in India where we have to be extra cautious, vigilant, because radicalization is taking place with ISIS.
But no one disagrees with that.
No,
I think this entire issue, we've been arguing past each other.
Vikram,
who says that
Vikram,
you should not deal with radicalized
I'm reminded of the slogan, no one killed Jessica, you know. Everyone knew that Jessica died, but no one killed Jessica. Similarly, everyone is condemning those slogans, but
yes.
No one knows who made those slogans. No one stands by the fact that slogans were made. This is absolute confusion.
Vikram,
the group says that we condemn it, and then they say, why arrest people and why investigate?
Hang on. The debate over that was not about, it was a question of who was arrested, whether that person has any links or not
the
with the slogan shouting.
The court is
that
looking into that. The
real issue, if you ask me, became, till that person has been tried, we're not even sure whether he's done anything, right? As you're saying, the court has to figure it out. Whether he should be beaten up or lynched or strung up from a tree in court before he's even been tried. That's the question.
That's what I'm trying to check in on that note.
Okay, Shekhar. First of all, just a factual, not update, not a correction. While there was a headline, nobody killed Jessica, finally courts did rule that somebody killed Jessica and that somebody is now serving a life sentence. But really, you know, if we get away from distractions, you talk about animal spirits. I'm only putting in different words what the question you raised. What kind of animals, which animals' spirits, right? We have animal spirits in the country, but they seem to be all the wrong animal spirits right now.
Yeah.
So to unleash the virtuous animal spirits, you first have to quieten the bad ones. Because no investment can come in a situation. Look, see what's happened in Haryana. It's next door to Delhi. Gurgaon is the new magnet for investments in India. After Bangalore and Hyderabad, Gurgaon is now emerged as the third biggest, in fact, even bigger than Pune. A lot of people are going to be very scared coming into Haryana now because, you know, no matter what you do, it will take a long time to wash this stain. And this is not to do with who is to blame, whether reservations are needed or not needed. But the fact is that just the incompetence seen there, any investor is now going to see, is it safe for me to go to India? People's insurance will go up. So I think these are
Before you come in on that.
You do in a game of wrestling or boxing, in a contact sport, sometimes you call time out. So let everybody calm down a little bit. And then resume.
And you think it's time for the Prime Minister to do time out or the Finance Minister in the budget, of course, you can't be saying time out and all that stuff. That's the signal that the government should
do. Government and the ruling party always have the upper hand. It's always their responsibility. It suits the opposition if everything remains non-functional.
Ajay, just on the point that Shekhar was making, and it is true that, you know, incidents like this, reservation or whatever, what actually has happened has probably damaged investment sentiment, not just in Haryana, but also for India. You had the global board of Deloitte's out here, and you know the chairman was an Indian, wanted to go home, wanted to go and see his parents. He wasn't being able to because they were rioting and it wasn't safe. What signal does that send to investors who are coming out here to Delhi to say it's not safe to go 1 hour outside the national capital because your car could be set on fire?
In India, we've had this tendency. We won our independence through non-violence. But if you look from 60s onwards, whenever agitations get out of the political mainstream, they turn violent. I'll give you an example. I've been a journalist, I've been a politician, I've organized, I've participated in agitations, and I've faced them against me as a minister. When our government announced the Mandal Commission, cabinet meeting took place in parliament. As we were leaving, my senior minister, George Fernandez, turned and said to me, Ajay, you've ensured the loss of a couple of 100 crores worth of railway ministry to the railways today. I was very young. I didn't understand. I asked him and he said, the first thing that will happen is that there will be protest against the decision of Mandal and there will be destruction. The first thing that will be destroyed is buses and train property. This is what is happening and has been happening.
And that is true that, you know, whenever you're having agitations or unrest or the perception of unrest, it does militate against a good economic environment for investors.
Of course, I want to come in on that.
You can't do both.
It does.
See,
right? Like Shekhar said, Haryana is the mega magnet as far as our country is concerned for investing. I live in
the
Haryana.
Most peaceful state in India for a very long
coming,
time.
I was just coming.
The other peaceful states,
you know,
Shekhar.
No,
it's never had the army out. Never.
No, yeah, exactly. Tell you one thing. The Jats have been agitation for the last 20 years, agitating for reservations. Whether you agree or not is another issue. They've had massive agitations. They have had lakhs sitting on dharna at Boat Club for a couple of days. There has not been a single instance of violence when the Jats have been demanding, agitating for the right to be included in the OBC reservation list. This is the first time. And it has happened because total breakdown.
I'm just asking you directly, is all of this impacting the investment climate in the country?
Of course it is. Of course it is.
And it does hurt the image.
And it hurts the image. I live in Gurgaon, and the conditions in Gurgaon would definitely, don't have to give specific examples, would be frightening away anybody from Gurgaon.
Okay.
Especially people coming from outside, wanting to invest, expecting, a modern city.
Himanshu? the situation, we would let, just to come back to what actually what's happened in JNU. So we were having a debate. I mean, I think what Sambit said is also correct, that what happened there, deplorable, disgraceful slogans shouted. Somebody needed to be hauled up. Somebody needed to be punished for that. But yes, the fact that it has become such a major issue, and it's been every headline for the last now 15 days, does impact any development that we might want to do.
It does. It definitely does impact. And I think JNU is one of the issues. And as Manish was making it, I mean, there has been a series of incidents like this that have gone on. And I think in some senses, putting the blame entirely on media. Media obviously played a role, some parts of the media. But there were party MPs who went and initiated the whole thing, FIR to then some kind of tweets, fake tweets and those kind of things. So I think in some senses, this mishandling that has happened, where an innocent person has been put in jail, where those perpetrators whose photos you see here are still out with bail just getting in 1.5 hours or 2 hours, I think somewhere the questions are going to be raised. But I think more important, and let me come back to this, I mean, this kind of a provocation, unnecessary provocation just before the budget, when you were trying to showcase the Make in India, and unfortunately your Make in India didn't become the highlight, this became a highlight. Was that by design or was that by accident? That only the people in the government can say, that they were somehow not confident about it or they wanted this to become the issue. But I think the issue that is important here is that government cannot absolve itself from the things that have happened. And it is not just one issue I'm talking about. It is issues related to the way the Patel agitation went on, the Jat agitation went on, so many agitation went on, Hyderabad it happened. I mean, there are strings of issues that are there. And in this environment, what is happening today in the economy is something which the government is not even acknowledging. And I think my biggest question is, my biggest worry is that the government is not even aware, not even acknowledging that the level of distress in the rural economy is far, far more serious.
Yeah, and we're going to do that.
I want to, Manish, one point.
Mr. Vijay, you'll be able to respond to it.
I just want to close that point,
which Manish. You see, the point that's being made is that the unrest that's happening on the streets of Jat, or whatever reason, is reducing or killing or the animal spirits towards investment in India. My submission is there is absolutely no evidence whatsoever to support this fact. Example, in Davos, when there was a meeting of the top industrialists and they were putting India, the concerns about India were ease of doing business, the exchange rate, the interest rates, etc. The politics came as a positive factor because there is a single government at the center. Number two, economist poll done by Bloomberg as recently as last week, when asked about India as an investment destination, they said ease of doing business, which is all those 18 things, and interest rates and exchange rates are the most important things. Politics didn't figure at all. The point that Samir was making was that people have learned in emerging markets.
I'm about to violently agree with you because you're right. I was there at Davos, as was Shekhar. Yeah. And it is certainly correct that a lot of people at that time were saying, all right, India is a bright spot right now in the global economy. There are one or two things that the government now has to do.
Has to fix it.
Policy,
ease of doing business.
Ease of doing business, get rid of retrospective taxation.
Banks. Sit right the bank.
All of those sort of things. Right. That's what people were focusing on. Yeah. Unfortunately, in the month that we have seen from then till now, the entire attention seems to have been shifted.
Not really, I beg to differ with you.
It may shift. Is budget an opportunity to put this back in race?
Yes, that's exactly what we're debating.
That is the opportunity.
We should get back into the business of doing business.
It could be a great opportunity to shift the argument away from all this.
I respectfully would like to disagree with Mr. P. N. Vijay. And the reason why I say that is, you dehorse the social unrest. Look at the economic numbers as they stand. -1.3% growth in the 8 core infrastructure sectors. The index of industrial production down by -3.2%. And these are all government numbers. These are not private numbers which I am putting out. Exports down, imports down. So therefore, the rupee has depreciated exponentially over the past 20 months.
The dollar is strengthening.
The short point I'm trying to make is that the economic numbers put out by the government do not support the thesis that there has been growth or development. What you've seen as social unrest is an additional dimension to it, which is going to impact it. And number two, on the whole corruption bit, you know, I find that to be a little rich. You know, people who are involved in the IPL scam, the Vyapam scam, where 40-odd people, witnesses, have been killed, you know, accuse other people on the basis of perceptual numbers of corruption. I think that's a little rich.
Okay, Sambit, then.
To say that we have a budget coming ahead on Monday, so we should not be speaking about JNU, we should not be speaking about other issues, or we should be handling it in a different way.
That's not what anybody is saying, Sambit. We are saying that you have allowed the agenda to drift away. That's your responsibility.
Vikram, let me complete. Both the agendas are extremely important. To see
what's the second agenda?
I'm telling you, the agenda that the country moves ahead with a better economy is a first agenda. The second agenda that if there is some kind of wrong taking place somewhere, the law and order has to take its own course. That has to be addressed. If that is being done and a particular ideology is being hurt, the ideology starts crying that, well, because our ideology is being targeted, because the NGOs who have wrong money confined within themselves, they are being targeted, the economy is going to be affected is, I think, a wrong way of looking into things.
You could have handled the entire situation by
tell
very
me how.
Simple.
Tell
I'll
me
tell
how.
You how. If yes. I, if I, for tell starters, for starters, when you're having a bunch of lawyers beating up people, attacking journalists.
Why do you conveniently not see JNU and go to the lawyers?
One sec. JNU is wrong, right? Let's agree on that. Whatever happens, with people who are shouting slogans, they were wrong slogans. You should find who the people were.
That's
get
the
JNU administration.
But Vikram,
I'm saying how you remove it. Vikram, how do you take it out of the headlines? If you're asking me how to take it out of the headlines, then it's impossible to do.
This thesis is also incorrect. Were those slogans actually shouted?
Yes.
Or was it actually audio which was morphed onto a different video and then put out and purportedly
saying that
the government
had
spoken over race?
Hang on, Sambit.
After all,
the
government had
gone first.
After all, who put it out first? The Akhil Bharatiya Vidyarthi Parishad, an interested party in the politics of JNU, puts out a purportedly fake video.
Let's move on to Dekon. No, I'm just saying it could have been handled.
The government misuses the police to arrest an innocent student. You know, you repeat a lie 1,000 times and it becomes a truth.
No, I'll tell you what happened.
That's not going to happen.
Can Manish stop and can I complete my point? Sir, just let me complete my point. I've been interrupted a number of times. Just let me
I'm not being heard.
All our respect.
This is the
problem today. The problem is, what are we trying to utilize, in fact? What are we doing, in fact? Look, Manish ji, your spokesperson came to the national television saying that Afzal Guru ji, not once but twice, but Chidambaram. P. Chidambaram said that probably, he was a home minister, he's not just another spokesperson. He's a home minister saying probably Afzal Guru was not tried in the best possible manner. What was your government doing all these years, sir?
I think you should read the statement properly. Mr. Chidambaram said that an honest view can be held that Mr. Afzal Guru's case was not tried properly.
Afzal Guru was not tried properly, and the only ones who should be tried properly are the two lawyers.
The irony is that mythical anti-national slogans have been repeated more by BJP. Ajay Himanshu, then I'll come back to the budget.
I'll just put it very briefly. The problem here is, Patra Bhai, that you have a situation in JNU. Let's not go into the ideology. I believe in freedom of the speech, whatever. But you have your party MLA publicly thrashing up in the court premises. These lawyers are going, getting garlanded. They are roaming around, and a bunch of students you are hunting for so many days in Haryana. For 1 year, they had a member of parliament, Mr. Saini from Kapurthala, who has formed a goon squad.
Kurukshetra.
Goon squad called the OBC. It has been born in the last 1 year, which has been in the forefront of all these activities. The Jats are getting the bulk of the blame. He has led this. He has insulted Jats. Nobody here would have.
He's used abuses for jars, which frankly should put him in jail for a long time.
And
videos are available.
Videos are available. The government aware of it, and okay. Nothing has been done for 1 year.
There's another MLA of the BJP from Rajasthan who knows how many condoms are used in JNU every day, how many beer bottles are found, how many meat bones are found. I mean, what the hell? So, if this is not denigrating
abortion syringes,
these interesting statistics, which have also been dominating the headlines, do you have anything to say about those?
Has JNU itself ever done a study on this? How many meatballs, how many condoms?
I think JNU has contributed much more to the country's growth by doing much more serious work. We don't have time to do all this, and we have given it to some other people who are now doing this seriously, the serious business of counting and looking at our dustbins. But I think important point that I want to make here, and there is, give me just 1 minute. One thing I want to make it very clear, that one, it's still an allegation, but the way it was treated was something which was really, really, we never thought of it. I mean, this is the entire might of the state and the party and everything came on just one single person. We are talking about investment, we are talking about growth, we are talking about various other things. I mean, as of now, the situation in this country is that other than the finance ministry and the ministry of statistics, rest all have some kind of a doubt whether it is 1% to 99% on the number, GDP numbers that are coming
that
out.
That is true. This is the first second, time second that point, the second economic point, numbers have been questioned point, by I the
think,
central bank.
I think second, second point, I think we should move away from interest rates, investment and other things. And one statistic that I want to again put it very clearly, and this is a statistics which is a very long record of being true. For the first time between November 2013 to November 2015, real wages in the rural areas, casual wages are going down. Okay. It is not going up, it is going down.
Okay.
This is the biggest indicator, the level of the distress that is there. It has never happened for the last 2 years.
So one sec.
Let me answer the questions. Yeah. First and foremost, there has been an attempt to distinguish between two kinds of wrongdoings. The wrongdoings which were seditious in nature and the wrongdoing which I would call as hooliganism. What happened in JNU is conveniently being, in fact, put to the back burner, conveniently being not discussed by many.
You know, we should just condemn them both and move on in life now.
No. Simple. The problem is no one is moving on. They have stuck to it. I mean, most of the debate. Vikram, can I have some amount of time that you gave to others? Can I? See, look, I mean, the debate itself speaks the nature that is going on in the country, in the sense that the ideology, which in fact has been caught on the wrong foot today, does not want the truth to speak out. And to black out the voice of the truth, this is what is being done. Hounding. Hounding the truth from all directions, thinking the truth probably would not emerge. But such is the power of truth that it will emerge. In the sense, Vikram, if you go to the streets today, just a second, go to the streets today. Manish, I challenge you. Ask the people on
the
streets.
In the form of fake videos.
Please, let's not laugh on this. Go and ask the common people. What happened in JNU is right or wrong? Should the people be punished or not? The common man is speaking about it, sir. Leave aside what I speak. Leave aside what Smriti ji is saying. Leave aside the parliament. Was I interjecting? And you would say I blame the judge. No, I respect them, sir. But I was not interjecting in any of you.
First you raise the ghost, then you slay it, and then I say I'm Superman. So you put out a fake video. And then on the basis of the fake video, arrest the person.
Sambit, say I'm a nationalist.
Mr. Manish, I challenge you, Mr. Manish and Sambit. Mr. Vikram, if you know that these are all fake videos shown by all channels, please go and challenge that in the Supreme Court. Why here?
Sambit.
None of you have gone to the court.
In
fact, the AICC How do you know? In fact, the Supreme Court would have easily heard Kanhaiya's plea, thrown out the case, and have reprimanded the delinquents, which it did not. Why did it not do that? Why sending Kanhaiya to jail? Do you mean to say that the judge...
Are you on this show testifying and certifying to the authenticity of that video?
How are you testifying if I'm not testifying? How do you question the wisdom of the judge over here? You mean to say that the judge of High
Is the matter even on trial? What is being heard is a bail application,
exactly.
My dear.
Mr. Manish. You say
I do not understand medicine.
You
don't understand law. Do not enter into this domain.
If all these things are false, the judge would have taken a call the very first day.
What the judge is hearing is a bail application.
He's saying that the judges have been sold. What is he saying? The judges have been sold. This is absolutely wrong.
The Supreme Court has to transfer the case to the High Court.
You should take your words back saying that courts are not being allowed to function in this regime.
Patiala House Court is not allowed to function.
Okay. The committed judiciary was an idea floated by Indira Gandhi,
course,
not by this government.
Patiala House Court was
judges
not allowed to function.
And how the judges are selected
court,
during their regime?
The Supreme
go
Court
and watch
made an observation
video.
That we'll have
why?
To send
how
the case
they
to the High because
High
the Patiala
court.
House Court are not safe. The Supreme Court said that. That is subversion of justice.
Now, if I was the Prime Minister.
Time out on this.
If I was the Prime Minister, and I'm not, but if I was the Prime Minister hearing this, I'd say, yes, that's all very well, but what about the budget? Can we get our attention back to the economy? And as a budget, and Mr. Jaitley has no doubt been working for the last 1 month to try and get something together, to change the discussion, which is what we started off from saying, from all of this stuff which has been dominating the headlines, to the more substantive questions of how are we fixing the economy, how are we getting investment, how are we moving forward as a nation? Are we all agreed on that?
But the government is not interested in doing
well,
that.
All right. I'm about to go off
the way. Not again.
The government is not interested
now,
in doing that.
Now.
And they have a political advisor who tries to incite violence in Haryana. That's also there. That's how they try to bring down the
government. You have a government in Haryana.
I
register the
Prime
case against him. Prove it.
I may not
that
be the Prime
Minister of
violence.
Violence.
Prove it.
They have a political advisor in Haryana.
You guys want to discuss the budget now?
Yes,
shift the focus back on the economy.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now I'm really feeling like Mr. Modi because I'm even getting people to respond to what I'm saying. Okay, now that the people have spoken, let's get back to the budget. And I'm asking simply, what is it, if anything, that Mr. Jaitley can say on Monday, which will get the attention back on what it should be on, which is, all right, 7.5% growth. We're not completely sure about the numbers, but let's try and make sure it is 7.5. Let's make sure it's 8, 9, 10. What can he say? One thing, one announcement, one big bang gesture on Monday that will get everyone refocusing on make in India, start up India, invest in India, let India grow. That's what everyone wants.
I'll tell you what you can do. I'll say two things. Reducing things to one is a bit difficult. I just said two things, if you don't mind. One is I agree with my friend from JNU that there is a shrinkage of rural wages which has taken place in the economy. And that has led to a reducing of rural demand. We can ask why, two monsoons, MSP,
focus
everything.
On the farm sector, that's
put,
what you're saying.
Try to focus on doing those things which put more money back into the farm sector, both as a distress
back
and
in
as
the
a,
farm sector, in yeah. addition to the money that will come into some people's hands because of the pay commission.
Pay commission will not really go into the farm sector. But it should. So that has to be a very directed policy, this budget.
Money
number
into
two,
the farm sector.
Yeah,
one
number
big
two.
Next.
Number two, there is a consumption problem in the economy. The business community is also saying they've got overcapacity. There is this, that, and the distress in the banks. He has to get a traditional middle-class approach, put more money in the hands of the middle class through tax savings, more incentives for home loans, etc., so that the savings rate is better because private sector is not going to invest.
So money in the hands of
the middle class.
Money in the hands of the farm
and
sector.
More strategy.
Money in the hands of
the
middle class.
And the rural.
Manish, if you were the finance minister on Monday, what would you do?
If the finance minister stands up at 11 a.m. on the 29th of February 2016 and says that my prime minister has asked me to inform the country that we've decided to rein in our hounds and let the real animal spirits emerge. You know, maybe something will happen. Otherwise, I'm afraid you make 20 big bang announcements. There is nothing which is going to happen which will raise or which will change the economic climate.
Shekhar.
Basically, you need to bring social unrest to an end. You need to bring this confrontation to an end. You need to bring this attempt to change the fundamental narrative of India to an end. And then only will economic progress and development take place.
And maybe you need to allow the GST to be passed.
Well, that's a different debate altogether. You know, I'm very surprised. I recall 2011 to 2014. Having the same debate on the GST in these studios, and the same people who are now preaching the virtues of GST were its biggest opponents, not you.
I'm talking
about Mr. Patra's predecessors who are now in government.
Fine. So I was telling them that. I'm telling that to you now. I used to say to them, past GST. I'm telling you now, past GST.
We have conceptual difficulties, not political difficulties.
Shekhar,
with the GST.
If you are on Jaitley on Monday, there are some radical suggestions that could come. Repealing retrospective tax is something that could send a big signal. Anything else that comes to your mind?
I think repealing retrospective tax will be a very good thing, but there are complications now because it is sitting in arbitration, which means government exchequer can get some money from it. If you now repeal it, it looks like you're foregoing that money. And CAGs tomorrow, now that our CAGs have got used to putting zeros.
Somebody will have those numbers.
zeros freely. This will be calculated as a 60,000 crore loss. 12,000 tax, then interest, then 300%
penalty.
But
he might still do it.
Well, I hope he goes and makes a deal with CAG. If he does it, it will have a big positive impact. But I think the most important thing is you have to bring optimism back. What is it that people are talking about in the economy for the past couple of years? Forget politics and forget the other disturbances. Non-performing assets. You are seeing well-known Indian corporations going down under because they borrowed too much and demand did not pick up. Some of them stole money. In fact, the guys who stole money are the most comfortable and the most brazen. They are living overseas and getting rid of their responsibilities and buying more fancy cars and yachts and things. That is one. The other thing is demand is not there. Demand for automobiles is not there. Demand for even agricultural goods is collapsing.
So he said put more money into people's hands and get that started.
I think, is that the right thing to do, or kickstart investment directly? I think you have to convince the people of India that your bank problem is being fixed.
So find a solution to the bank problem. I agree. Okay, so that's one.
How much money can government put in people's hands, right? Government should give incentives for housing loans.
Solve the bank problem. Okay, that's another good suggestion. Ajay, then I'll come back to Sambit.
Somehow the situation, and there are reasons for it, that has been built up, which is a lack of confidence in the government. We spend more time discussing the Jat agitation, JNU and other things than the budget. And this is precisely the problem with whatever Mr. Jaitley might do. Unless, like you said, make one grand statement, and the only best statement I think he can make, because he'll do whatever he has to do with the budget, is to promise that the government will very seriously try and diffuse divisive forces that have been so active in Haryana, in JNU.
Himanshu, then I'm going to come to Sambit.
This government is now suffering from some kind of a credibility deficit. And I'm going to make it very, very clear. And this is true for the land acquisition thing, where actually the doubts became more and more important. And now also, you have to basically say that your intentions are very clear. And you really want to do that. I think the warning signs have been there for the last 2 years. I mean, this thing has not appeared now. I mean, even in May, we knew that the drought is coming. We knew that the pulses problem is going to happen. All these things were known. But somehow the government's intentions of dealing with the problem, people did not take seriously, and that is why the problems appear.
So you're saying the government needs to convince people that it's serious.
Number one, that is in the political level. One has to be very, very clear on what they're going to do, and obviously stay away from all these other kind of issues that they're taking up. The second, I think, is very, very clear that this political intention has to be matched by real action, and which I mean is that increase in spending in the rural areas, demand has to be built up given the global environment where exports are not going to pick up or there is some kind of a situation in the other
build
areas.
Build up demand in the rural areas.
By spending more in agriculture
and
rural areas.
As P. N. Vijay said, build up demand in rural areas. Sambit.
Now, as far as the budget is concerned, no one over here can preempt the budget. And a few words that I can say is, number one, as far as Mr. Jaitley's previous speeches are concerned, let me steal a few phrases from that. As far as Big Bang, the word Big Bang is concerned, he always maintained that there's nothing called as Big Bang in reforms. Reform should be a 365 into 24 into 7 affair. It should always continue. Just looking for one night Diwali and thereafter darkness is something which I believe should not be the lookout of this government. Secondly, I mean, rural distress and paying attention towards the agriculture sector is absolutely important, and that's the reason as to why the Prime Minister announced the crop insurance scheme. Second phrase that I wanted to use from the Prime Minister's speech, two more phrases, is subsidy and incentives. Because he said that, if you try to subsidize the rich, that is called as an incentive. But if you give an incentive to the poor, that is called as a subsidy. And that shows the kind of telescope that the Prime Minister is looking towards the economy in this country. That means garibon ki sarkar. And the last phase, which I would like to steal from the Prime Minister's speech recently, is a populist versus popular.
probably the budget would not be, I would not preempt, but probably it would be a popular budget for the country, looking towards the country, rather than trying to just pick up a few brownie points
so
here and there.
So, interesting suggestions from everybody. We'll see how many of these are actually implemented by the finance minister when it comes to Monday. But I'm going to take a break and let's go to the people, and I'm going to break with format, because I'm going to then, when I come back, get suggestions from all of you. What would you be doing if you were Mr. Jaitley on Monday? We'll come to that when we return. Welcome back. You're watching The Big Fight. We've been trying to figure out what could possibly happen on Budget Day that would get the attention back to the economy and on economic development and away from some of the other issues that have been dominating the headlines. Let's see if any members of the audience would have some suggestions of what they think should be done in the budget. Who has a thought?
I'd like to add more value towards education for everybody, because that is really very essential. And if it is not focused upon, then everything would go to shatters. Because the basic
focus
foundation,
on education, spend more money on education.
Exactly, my
including
point.
JNA.
And not just spending, but sorry, implementation as well.
There's also this growing disparity between the rich and poor. How does the government plan to tackle it with the new budget that's going to come the next week?
Okay, will there be anything done about disparities and inequality? Yeah.
Sir, main thing is that why we are not focusing towards people of India? Why we are looking that investment from FDI should be come to India? Why not the local talent should be imposed? Why not the local talents coming?
Okay. One last comment. Look at the lady there. Yeah.
With these such kind of political instability, the image of India has already been tarnished. So now, what are the ways we can implement, or what are the policies to attract investment?
Okay.
Vikram, can I just take Madam's question?
No, I'm coming back to all of you now. Fine. Actually, let's not have a question because we're flat out of time.
Last 10 seconds, because Madam rightly said that there is a disparity between the rich and the poor, and the government should tackle this disparity. I believe the government is trying its best to tackle this disparity. Previously, the situation was we believed in this trickle-down effect, that, well, yes, if we make the people at the top rich, things will trickle down to the bottom.
Okay.
This government believes in pulling-up effect. Mudra, startup, stand-up, this all is nothing but pulling up. People below the poverty line have to be pulled up.
So I want as we end this program, we're flat out of time, look into your crystal ball and perhaps let's see if you can predict the one phrase that will be in the headlines on Monday evening. Crystal ball time now. Which phrase do you think? Ajay, I want to get you to start.
Me? No, I think I'll leave it to the
judge here. One phrase.
Reforms is so surely, I believe, going to be one of the most
important. Reforms will be in the headlines. Himanshu?
I think we have been hearing it for the last 25 years now. So I think hearing word reform. And if that is the limit of imagination that you expect. I think somewhere the focus on rural.
About reforms in JNU. Something country's reforms.
You mean to say that last 25, one thing was not talking about reforms?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
No, it was rhetoric, I think you did not get it.
All right, that's all right. But I think somewhere the message has to go to the large majority in the countryside, and education, I think, is important. Health is important.
Yeah, one phrase which is going to be the headlines.
Very difficult to predict, but I think it has to be somewhere where the word itself doesn't mean only rhetoric, but also action. It signifies.
Okay. Shekhar?
Well, I can guarantee to you that two words, reform and pro-poor, will be in the headline.
Pro poor and reform.
But really, what I would like to see, what I would wish to see, is reboot. Because really, this government was expected to come and reboot the economy. They haven't yet done so, and they have to start with banking and banks' bad debts. That is the problem to address. That is the bug that has got us sick. There's no point having more aspirin.
Okay, Manish, and then P. N. Vijay, we get the last word.
Well, the one word which will appear on the 1st of March is bombed. And there will be a phrase at the bottom of it, which will say, the kha gai dal, pi gai tel, Modi sarkar ka hi ajab khel.
Kane, Vijay,
he's learning from you.
Headline, Yaqub Masood.
Sharp increase.
That's the narrative that they believe in.
I think sharp increase in infrastructure spending and rural development. Two, income tax slabs increased to put more money in the hands of the poor.
All right, let's see how many of those headlines actually are there. on the 1st of March. But anyway, it's going to be an exciting few days and hours as we look ahead to see what exactly it is that the finance minister will say. Let's see if it is going to change the rhetoric and the discussions and the studio debates away from all the politics that we've been seeing to something a bit more constructive. You're watching The Big Fight. We'll be back next week.